Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, my name is Gillian Anderson, founder of My Friend Abby, and welcome to Sylvia and Me.
Gillian, it's so nice to have you here today. I understand that you had a great background in not only fundraising, but you did fundraising on air, so you might sound a lot better than I do.
Yeah, it's fun to be on the mic right now.
One of the reasons why we're here, the main reason why we're here, is to get the word out about something that has, you know, so many people hide it. It's got a stigma to it. It's got the word shame to it. And we so need to get rid of those words associated with the word mental illness and the word suicide. I know why I'm passionate about this particular topic. I had that happen within my family. Can you tell me why it's so important to you?
Of course, and thank you for sharing that, because what I have found along the way is that so many people are affected by suicide or by mental illness in their family. It's not uncommon, but we are now just opening up and talking about it, and that's why I'm here. I lost my daughter 5 years ago to suicide. Her name was Abby. She was 15 years old, and she was my world.
I understand. To lose a child is something that is inconceivable. To lose a child to suicide is, even for so many, so much harder, because you start doubting yourself. Can you tell me about Abby?
Sure, of course. I love talking about Abby. I miss her terribly. Again, you know, she was my world. I have a son also. He's 25 years old, and we had really kind of a perfect family unit with my husband and my two children. And she was just this very outgoing, compassionate, beautiful girl who, at the age of 15, had a lot of friends and wanted to do everything. She was had a lot of energy, and she was diagnosed with clinical depression about a year and a half to 2 years before she died, and that rocked our world. That's when everything changed. And when I look back, it's very dramatic how things changed when she was diagnosed.
Things do change. So she was diagnosed with clinical depression. It was a year and a half prior to her dying from suicide. I do not like the word committed suicide, because she didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. She was ill. And that's another thing that people have to understand. So during her illness, what precipitated the diagnosis? Did something take place, or did you see something in her behavior?
We did not see anything in her behavior, but looking back, and hindsight is really difficult, but looking back, everything happened at the same time. I now realize, for, you know, that year and a half, 2 years before she died, how much was really going on with her. And it's very difficult to distinguish typical teenage behavior from somebody who is struggling on the inside with depression, clinical depression, or any other, you know, mental illness, whether it's bipolarity or schizophrenia. But at the age of 15, you know, it seemed like regular teenage behavior. I got a call from the school, just to tell you the quick story, she had been doing some cutting. Again, horrifically shocking. I'm at work, and I get a call from the school nurse, and boy, did they make me take her away really fast. I saw her, gave her a huge hug. I said, "Let me see." I wanted, I couldn't believe it. Superficial cuts, but they were there.
They were there.
And, of course, she immediately felt shameful and said, I'm so sorry, and broke down. And I said, honey, it's okay. You know, we're going to get help for this. And I can't say that it was a great experience, you know, with the school. Just, I mean, literally, like, you cannot have her come back to school unless you go see a professional, blah, blah, blah. There's no fast track for this kind of stuff. And when you're not aware, when you haven't had the experience in dealing with this, again, it was just so shocking. Here's my beautiful outgoing girl with always happy, always putting a smile on somebody's face, struggling on the inside. And me, as her mother, didn't even realize. So that was really, really hard.
Well, mental illness is so difficult to actually recognize in someone, because it's not, you didn't know she was cutting. You know, a lot of mental illness, there is no physical whatsoever. And, you know, with the lack of resources out there, how were you able to find the right resource or any resource? How did you go about looking for this?
You know, and this is where the problem is. This is where I see such a major problem. As a family, we jumped right into action. We, you know, we realized she was struggling, and you're automatically just thrown into this crisis mode, trying to find the right, you know, therapist and medication. And I was lucky enough to have a doctor, a friend who was handling her migraines. She actually was getting, so this all happened at the same time. All of a sudden, she was getting really bad migraines. And I know there's a percentage of people that suffer from migraines. A high percentage suffer from depression as well. So hormones kicked in, migraines, all
Everything
of a sudden.
Going on with this poor girl.
Yeah. And, you know, I was working full time. And again, I look back and the whole family had to jump in. And for those 2 years, I mean, we were really trying to find all the right answers and do all the right things. And I think we were fortunate enough that I had a friend who was a doctor who got us right into a psychiatrist, because she had to be evaluated and diagnosed, and she was diagnosed with clinical depression and put on medications. Again, it's so hard to explain that feeling of all of a sudden, just like finding out your child has cancer. It's the same thing, but we didn't talk about it back then a lot. That's where, even 5 years ago when she died, I'm looking back and saying, why weren't we so open about this? Why weren't we given more resources? Where's the fast track? Where's the help so that we can move forward? You know, nobody was holding my hand along the way, telling me what to expect or what to do. And again, that's where I think we're failing.
We are failing big time. So she was in therapy, on medication for a year and a half. Did they think she was getting better?
Well, you know, I say a year and a half, and it was probably a little bit longer than that. I have no sense of time,
I don't blame you.
Yeah, time just stands still. We saw a couple of different therapists. A lot of times she wanted me to go into her therapy sessions with her. At first, I remember them, you know, being a little difficult to comprehend and get your brain wrapped around the fact that there's a psychiatrist saying, do you have a plan? You know, are you going to kill yourself? So these words are really difficult. And, you know, she glazed it over. Yeah, I was thinking about it at one point, but no, I wasn't really serious. So there was not one therapist that got the real information out of her. She knew how to hide it really well. And knowing what I know today and talking to young adults, one of her friends in particular who also suffers from clinical depression said, you know, we should be getting Tony Awards for our acting. We do know how to hide it really well.
Well, some really good actors who over the last few years suffered from depression, anxiety, and died by suicide. I mean, we're talking about Robin Williams, comes to the top of my mind. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? So if they can do it, can you imagine what a young girl who, with social media and being able to hide behind all of these, behind the walls of the internet, I understand how she probably was able to come out and put on the face that she wanted to have.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, if, again, looking back, the therapist that she went to, there were some ups and downs, but for the most part, it was pretty, you know, okay, we'll go on this medication. All right, well, this one's making me a little jittery. Let's try a different one. And just all kind of matter of fact. Again, just, but I wish somebody was telling me what to expect and how to look for the warning signs of suicide, all of those things. And the very last therapist she had about, again, my timing is so off.
It's okay.
3 to 6 months before she died, let's say. I literally was sitting there with her and she said, Abby, you know, you're doing so great. I think we're good. I don't know. How do you feel? She's like, yeah, I think we're good too.
How did this therapist fail after your daughter died? I'm sorry to ask it so bluntly. It just came to my mind.
I didn't talk to her. And I was trusting the medical professionals. I was trusting in the medication. We thought we were doing all of the right things. And, you know, and a lot of people say this. I know a lot of people now who have a child that's died by suicide. And it's like, well, they seem like they were getting better. Yeah. And literally, Abby had been struggling a little bit with school. We took her out of one class. We got her extra help for another. Her grades were improving. She seemed happier. All of those things.
That's part of the disease. The ability to fool everyone, including the professionals. And I think probably the professionals, in all honesty, a lot of them really don't have a handle on it yet. There is no magic button that they can press to make everything okay. And with the stigma and everything, why would anyone admit that they're feeling like that?
They don't want to either. I mean, again, hindsight, there's little things here and there. You know, once or twice she said, I just want to be normal. Well, define normal, right? And it was the medication that was maybe not agreeing with her. I don't think she was diagnosed properly based on some of the actions that I can look back at now. I think there was a couple of times where she was probably manic. But again, she was always, you know, very hyperactive and outgoing, had a lot of energy. I didn't realize that. And there was also a lot of, you know, she was very, we did determine a few things. She was very hard on herself. We talked about being a perfectionist and why it's so important to not hold everything in. So all of these things just, it's like a dream. It's like it's actually like a nightmare, but it's like this sequence that I look back at and just, sometimes I just feel like I'm floating and how can I have a child who's died by suicide?
That's what a lot of parents and siblings and spouses and friends ask themselves. And there's no answer other than the fact is they had a disease. For some, similar to cancer in the way that there might not be any cure for it, unfortunately. In so many ways, it has not been an area that is well received, well investigated, well funded. Abby was very, very social. She had a lot of friends. What was the reaction of her friends?
Oh, it was shocking. It was shocking to not only her family, but to her friends, her best friends, her, you know, her immediate friends and the community. Even her best friend, who, you know, she had known since second grade. She had a lot of close friends. She never talked about it with them. I think she was sick of it. I think she just, you know, once she was diagnosed, it was like that wasn't her happy place, so she wasn't going to talk about it. She didn't want to burden her friends with it. You know, this is a friend that made her happy all the time, and this is what they're going to do. They're going to hang out together. And she did choose to talk to a few people when she was diagnosed to say that she was on medication.
Okay.
And the word depression did come up, but I don't know all of those discussions. Sure. I'm not sure exactly what her conversations were with her friends. I do know that a child is more likely to turn to a peer before anyone else to talk about struggling.
And I'm sure some of them probably felt guilty that they did not know, that they didn't notice. What did they miss?
Yeah, yeah. But, well, that happens with everybody, with any suicide. And this is the problem. It's such a complicated death. And the grief is very complicated afterwards as well, because you're always asking why. You know, I've seen people get stuck in those horrible loops of asking why. How did this happen? What did I miss? You know, and we immediately, my husband and myself, decided right away when the school found out and they called my husband, they said, what do you want us to say? And he said, you need to let every child know that she took her own life. It wasn't their fault. And that, I think, was really, really important.
I would say, I mean, for you and your husband to take that stand is, one, I give you a lot of credit for being able to do that, because in the time of grief, you're also looking out for the legacy of Abby and her friends. So I give you a lot of credit for being able to do that, because a lot of people wouldn't. A lot of people would hide it under the rug, which is not what you've done. And you told me the story of how her friends wanted to do something in memory of Abby, and they raised quite a bit of money.
Yeah, one of the very first things that happened. And I really do want to acknowledge Abby's friends and the community, because they just pulled together. I've never seen anything like it. They were struggling. They all bonded together. They really took action. And all of a sudden, talking about it, because it had never happened to them before. And it was just so amazing to see what they did, with the help of some adults, of course.
Okay. You know,
they're 15, 16, 17, but they did things on their own as well. And it was just so incredible. And yeah, so one of the first things that they wanted to do was, it's called American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They have a walk every year. It's called Out of the Darkness Walk. And they wanted to do something together. And so that's what they did about, I think it was about 3 months after she died. They raised an enormous amount of money. I have a fundraising background, so I was just really amazed at how they were really able to pull it all together in such a short amount of time. And it was such a feel-good moment for them to all be together and grieve together. That was the important thing, grieving together.
Well, one of the things that you say is a lot of people don't know what to say. And you have said, in fact, we'll go into, it's on your website, what website are we talking about in a few minutes, but you say their name out loud. If you don't know what to say to somebody, share a memory, take out a picture, talk about them, which is so important, because you want to remember. You don't. You need to talk about it. So, you have a fundraising background. Let's hear what you did after and how you got to where you are now.
Right. I immediately just wanted to know why. And like I said, I have seen people go around and around for years just trying to explain, you know, why somebody died by suicide. It's a really difficult subject, and The first thing I realized was we weren't immune. It could happen to any family. It happened to us. And I think I was seeking out others who had lost a child to suicide just to figure out, am I going crazy? Is this something that, you know, again, it was such a nightmare, and your feelings are so jumbled, and you're trying to explain it to others. And, well, yes, you know, she did have clinical depression, but, you know, we thought we had a handle on it. I think that, there's so many things that you want to do, and everybody grieves so differently. I just wanted to take action and do something and start talking about my daughter. I wanted to honor my daughter. I loved my daughter so much. We all did. And how can we honor her at this point? I felt like I was honoring her by educating myself and learning a lot more. The statistics were staggering. Just staggering. And I didn't know. I just didn't know.
Well, suicide is the second leading cause of death for individuals between the ages of 15 to 24.
That's right.
Many young adults live in the shadow of mental illness with shame. And one in five youths, as you've said, age 13 to 18, experience severe mental disorder at some point in their life. We need to do something about it. And talking about it is so important. As I said at the beginning, this is it's a very important subject to me, mental health and suicide. I said, you know, somebody in my family, it was my brother. It was back in 2006, I believe, some time ago, and he was my baby brother. He was in his 40s. But, you know, when I asked my brother and my sisters if they minded my saying anything, no, because we need to get the word out there. Mental illness is an illness just like anything else, and we need the resources. So one of the things that you've done is called My Friend Abby, and it's ABBY. Tell me about My Friend Abby.
Well, I think keeping this dialogue going is so important. Talking about mental health, mental illness, mental wellness. You are not alone. It's okay to not be okay. I feel like we need to plant those seeds very early on. We need to talk to kids as young as 10 years old about the word suicide. Believe it or not, it's just not getting any better. I have seen a little bit of a shift in the last 5 years of people who are now talking about it, and the kids are the first ones to open up about it. That's what's so amazing to me. They're the ones that want to take action and do something. So, yes, I am the founder of My Friend Abby, which is a brand new not-for-profit organization.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We literally just got our 501c3 in January.
Okay.
And it's very exciting because I think it's very unique and very different. I am obviously honoring my daughter, Abby. She did some amazing things even at her young age. She was so compassionate. She volunteered. She loved animals. One of the things she did the day before she died, in her English class, her English teacher, she adored him, and he said, write whatever you want. She did what I call, it was a bucket list, which is kind of a negative term. When you think about it, how ironic is that, yeah. Really? She did a bucket list? It's an aspirational list, and it was this 15-year-old aspirational list, things that she wanted to do. But what the kids picked up on, it was 38 items, and what the kids picked up on was number 37, help others in a big way, and number 38, live a happy life.
Wow.
And her friends just ran with that. They ran with it, and they've done so much already. So My Friend Abby is a very exciting new organization. We're encouraging kids to take action and do something. We're going to be giving out grants to young adults who are doing things that are possibly evidence-based. Music makes you happy. Talk about things that can help you with your mental wellness. Maybe it's therapy dogs. Maybe it's doing a pizza party in your classroom. Maybe it's bringing in a professional speaker at the college level. There's all kinds of things. Kids are already doing these things. We feel like maybe a grant will help to close that loop and really make it happen. It's been very exciting. It's been really quite amazing. We're definitely on the right path.
So you've had a couple of events already. Tell me about, I know one was art-based. Can you tell me a little bit, tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we call them model events, and the one that we did, we went out to a local island. It's called Sheffield Island off in Norwalk. We took a boat ride out. We gave a grant to one of Abby's friends. And we helped to pay for all of the tickets. There was 50 people on board this boat, all young adults, with a therapist. And it's like, all right, kids, we're going to put down our cell phones, put away your computers. We're going to be in the moment, and we're going to talk about our mental health. And pretty soon, there's some strangers, and everybody's talking to each other. And we have this beautiful day, this beautiful boat ride. We get to the island, and there's this lighthouse. And that was the theme. Who is your beacon of hope? Who is your light? And everybody toured the lighthouse, and they then sat down with all of the paints and paper in front of them, and they all painted a picture of the lighthouse. It was a really, really amazing day.
Well, these grants are called peer project grants, peer-to-peer. Your motto is inspiring a mental health revolution, one friend at a time. I love that. So tell me what your mission is, your mission, your vision. I think it's absolutely fantastic that you're allowing these young people who are so affected by this to be able to open up, and the awareness that they are sharing. So why don't you go into what your mission is?
Right. So again, we want to give out grants. It's a lot of it is revolved around my fundraising. No pressure there. We have some amazing people involved, though, who are on our committees and on our board, who really have put this together with me, and I can't thank them enough, by the way. They see how powerful this can be when you empower young adults to really actively create these connections that improve mental health and emotional health. And that's what we're doing.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. The fact that you're letting young people who are more open, you know, we grew up in a, or at least I did, at a time where you didn't tell anyone, your parents did not want you to tell anyone you were seeing a therapist because it had such a stigma and shame and, you know, why can't we, you know, fix this or help you? And then as you go on and the lack of health resources for mental illness, you know, before pre-existing had been gotten rid of, if you put down that you went to a therapist, you could be denied coverage. So getting the word out and helping young people who are so vulnerable to be able to express their feelings and talk to one another is such a great mission. Ilian, I thank you so much for sharing your story. It's one that a lot of people wouldn't be able to talk about it. And that's the thing. We need the discussion. We need the conversation.
Well, thank you so much. Abby inspires me every day. And I know she inspires her friends as well. And she is just here all of the time in my heart. And I can see the change that she's made already just in the 5 years that she's been gone.
For anyone who wants more information, please go to myfriendabby.org. And Abby is ABBY.org. Again, Gillian, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe.
Today's podcast has been recorded at Verso Studios at the Westport Library.
This has been a Life of Prey production.